Welcome to Ray and Tay Today.
Hey, hey, it's Ray, that's Tall Rayside.
And it's Tay, Eric Taylor, with the cutting and scratching, little DJ mixes or whatever. Oh, man. Well, thank you for joining us on this nice Friday in October. And listen, if you want to join in and give us a call, you hit us up at 718-664-9098. Give us the email, and we just love all the responses we've been getting at rayandtaytoday@gmail.com. Obviously, that's R-A-E. And you know, shoot us up on the social media with the tweets. Twitter is Ray and Tay Today. And, you know, check us up and like us on Facebook and follow our sports updates and information. So why don't you let them know, Ray, how we're going to break down the show today.
All right, we got that Friday show for you today. So we're going to talk about last night's football game, if you guys woke up from that yet. What a terrible game. College
football. Was it a football game?
Yeah, I don't know. It was a penalty and a sack fest. We got college football, so we got five top 25 matchups this week. We've got a preview of the Sunday game, plus some fantasy moves to make. And then last but not least, we got our baseball preview, and we'll be checking in with the baseball game. Right now, we got top of the seventh, Cardinals up 4-2 against the Braves, but by the time the show ends, that game will probably be in the ninth or may even be done. So let's kick it off with some Thursday night football, Ray.
Well, before we get to Thursday night football, I just got to say, I threw it up on Twitter in some places. My prediction was the Cardinals would win. We said that the other day. I actually put the score 4-3, and I think the Rangers will beat the Orioles tonight. I think I had like a 5-3 or 5-2, something like that, 5-3. But I think it'll be Cardinals and Texas winning these wild cards. But we'll get into the baseball stuff.
Well, that's because you got the other Cardinals wrong.
I give it to you, Ray. You said the Rams. The one thing I would say, I have to send an apology letter, but I definitely give extra love and props to Jeff Fisher and his influence on this team. They don't have tremendous talent, but he's definitely sort of come in and changed the organization, drafted well. They have 24 new players on their roster. So 24 of the guys were on the team last year and no longer on the team. So that's a pretty big turnover. And obviously him getting Finnegan and some of the players that he's brought over and stuff, and Jenkins in the second round, which is the first round talent. They're solid at the corners, and their defense is tough, man. I mean, to get 9 sacks on Cobb with a horrible offensive line,
Fisher's,
but still the pressure.
Fisher's a great defensive coach, and he gave them confidence, you know, more than anything.
Yeah.
He just came over there and brought some confidence as a coach, which all the players now are acknowledging. So you don't know when you don't have it, but when you do have it, it becomes clear that Jeff Fisher, you know, he's a heck of a coach.
Well, what's interesting, and I don't know if you read this, but Steven Jackson, who, you know, he played, he got the groin a little banged up, but he got over 70 yards last night. But Steven Jackson, basically, this will be the last year of his deal. He's sort of renegotiated where he could be a free agent after this season. But if he wanted to come back for the 2013 season, it would be at $7 million. So that's kind of interesting to see what's going to play out with that team. You know, obviously they drafted Isaiah Pede, and then in like the seventh round got Darryl Richardson, so who's been playing more than Isaiah Pede. So we'll see what happens. I mean, Steven Jackson is probably over 12,000 yards, but probably one of the, you know, best backs in the NFL.
Yeah, but he's got a lot of wear and tear on him. And you know how when you hit that 30,
yeah,
that
no,
magic
he's 29,
number,
and he'll be 30 soon.
That's the magic number, and those GMs will throw you out in a minute. On the other hand, St. Louis needs some offensive talent. I mean, even when your best receiver is Danny Amendola, and he
goes
down.
He's out for 6 weeks. Did you hear?
Yeah.
He said about 6 weeks.
He's just a little
ligament
guy.
Ligament to the clavicle
bone. We were talking
bone.
About
yeah.
this we were talking about this earlier. Wes Welker had that freak knee accident. Nobody touched him. But Danny Amendola is the type of guy that always gets hurt. You can't, and that's too bad because this is the season where, you know, he could have made some money. But he's just a little guy, you know. And those, that's why football, you need to be a big dude to play football, to take those hits, to go over the middle. Or you got to learn how to get down. You got to learn how to avoid the hits. And this was a bit of a freak accident, but he's always getting hurt, Danny Amendola.
Yeah, and a shout-out to the Rams. Obviously, they're 3-2. The Cardinals are 4-1, and I think the Cardinals can turn it around. They just got to get rid of the ball faster, Cobb, and definitely get some things popping with that offensive line and get healthy. They got some guys that are injured. But I want to ask you this. This is a question before we get into some of the college football games. I got to ask you this. Do you think Sam Bradford has or is the season turning the corner, where maybe now with some offensive coordinator consistency and just having a good head coach and obviously maybe another receiver or two away. But do you think that he is a franchise, quarterback?
It's funny because I do think so. So Sam I Am, shout out to Sam I Am. Anybody that completes 70% of his passes in college and goes to the pros and looks to be pretty accurate is a guy that you feel like you could build your franchise around. However, he hasn't shown the progress that you'd want to see from a guy, from first to second, second to third year. You know what I mean? So my gut instinct says yes, which is why when they traded away the rights to RG3, I thought that's great. They could bring some offensive talent, shore up the defense, and maybe get him an explosive playmaker, wide receiver type, with all those draft picks that they've got from the Washington Redskins. But the one thing that bothers me is I haven't seen the progress from Bradford that I'd like to see. I'm not giving up on him.
Well, he didn't really get
like
that big number one receiver yet.
He didn't, right. So he didn't. But you know what? You can show progress regardless if you're, if you're a quarterback, regardless of having all the tools around you. But I do think if they do give him some toys that he could do some things. I like Sam Bradford. I'm not saying he's a top five quarterback. But he's no Mark Sanchez. I mean, he's a legitimate NFL quarterback.
No, I like him.
And I think you can win with him. I actually think you can go to playoffs, and, who knows, if they surround him with a
Well, listen,
more
his rookie
talent,
year,
he
was one game away, last game of the season, right?
Well,
they lost,
he was 7-9. I mean, it wasn't
I'm
like
just saying that the guy almost, he almost did his thing. So, all right, well, look. Let's jump into the Thursday games. I mean, obviously, look, there's some other news. I don't want to really get into Shaq and Howard. It's silliness. Howard addressed it, and Chris Broussard, jumped in, and different people are saying things. Shaq just needs to stop talking about Howard. His career is over, and all that. And I think just a quick update, Rasheed is going to start scrimmaging with the Knicks and start playing, with them and stuff in training camp. And, I think it's going to – things are going to be interesting. These teams, they're starting to do, the previews, and obviously our preview will be coming up soon. And training camp, man, it's exciting. So it's definitely exciting to see. And I don't know if you know this, but on NBA TV, they're going to, the association, they did the Denver Nuggets last year, and this year they're going to follow around the Brooklyn Nets. So that should be kind of interesting.
That'd be fun in the new arena.
Yeah, to see how they do things and everything. So that's going to be a good must-see TV premiering October 16th at 10 o'clock to watch that. So, let's take a real quick break, and let's jump into these college football games this Saturday.
Back.
Ooh. Well, it's so funny. Let me tell you this real quick, right? The Harrison twins signed with Kentucky, the point guard and the shooter, and they are, ranked like two of the best players in the nation. So
right.
They'll
two
be
and four
not
in the
this
nation,
season, but next season.
And they both said that they would stay for 4 years. Now, we know that's not happening.
Well, Andre, Andre and Andrew? But they're supposed to be really nice, the Harrison twins. So, Calipari, that's all we need to say.
Kentucky is just ridiculous with the talent.
Well, the funny
they
thing
getting.
Is they were debating going to SMU because they're from Dallas and Maryland. So your boys almost landed in Maryland.
Look, don't
tease
shout
me
out
like
yo
don't
Terps,
tease.
But don't break my heart. I don't need to hear that right now.
When was the last time you pulled a national top five recruit?
Listen, wait. This year we do have a top 20 recruiting class. So watch out for the Terps. We got some players. We don't have a top five player, but we had one McDonald's kid, and we got some talent. So look out for the Terps. But we'll get into
though,
that when
you
it's
got to figure. You got to figure, and Lord knows if you know Connecticut and all those guys go to the ACC. So you're going to be competing against not only Duke and Carolina, the perennial.
Okay, look.
You know,
just trying to make me? You just trying to make me upset and depressed? Is that what's going on here, man?
I'm just saying.
Come on, Ray. Give a brother a break and let me feel excited about my Terps, baby.
All right.
Let's talk about obviously the biggest game of the ranked games for college football. Number 5 Georgia at number 6 South Carolina. Wow. I mean, for me, the SEC, man, they just the way they recruit and you know, Spurrier over there at South Carolina, it looks like he's finally got a shot to take a team, you know, dare I say, to a national championship. But
the old
to do
bowl
it,
coach.
Hey, listen, to do it, he's got to beat Georgia. Now, they got the running back, Lattimore.
Yeah, Marcus Lattimore. He's nice, and he's
– Lattimore is a beast,
like
right?
130, 140 a game against
Georgia. Easily. And he's, you know, he's eaten up Georgia in the past. But I got to tell you, this one to me is a coin flip. I just think Georgia is tough, man. They're really tough. Their defense, you know, they get their, I guess it was their linebacker back, and they're, you know, getting some of their guys back. This is going to be a war. Whoever wins, I could see it being, you know, 30-28. You know, maybe South Carolina pulls it out at the end. But I think it's going to be a great game. It could go either way for me.
Really? Okay, I mean, I think it's going to be a tight game, too. I really like their quarterback in Georgia, Aaron Murray. Georgia wins a really tough, tight SEC battle in Columbia, South Carolina. Shout out to all my South Carolina folks. But, yeah, I think Georgia's too tough. I think Georgia comes in there. I think they create a turnover or two. I think Aaron Murray leads them down the field in the fourth quarter. They take the lead. They hold on to the lead. I think they win by three. Let's say 24-21.
Okay. The one thing I will say, just don't sleep on Spurrier with some trickery. Some trickery, hickory, dickory, okay? So now, next up. Well, look, now, right?
Well, first of all, shout out to college football having – I mean, look, they don't have control over this, but 5 top 25 matchups, that's fantastic. Half the top 25 is playing against each other. That's unbelievable. And you got some other non-top 25 teams against top 25.
Those that are good games.
A great weekend.
Like Florida State at NC State is still a big game. And yeah, no, definitely.
Notre Dame, Miami, yeah. But you got 5 top 25
at Soldier Field, right? At Soldier Field. No, you're right. And obviously there's, you know, Washington at Oregon. I mean, we're not going to focus on that, but that's a big game. And Oregon speed is just crazy.
Nebraska at Ohio State, you know. Welcome to the Big 12.
Well, listen, I think West Virginia at number 8, at number 11, Texas. This is, you know, look, they played in their first time in the Big 12 last week. They smacked up, you know, had a great 70-63 win over Baylor, all that offense. Let's see if Geno Smith, early Heisman, you know, maybe leader, can he do this against a real team and, you know, a real coach, real speed, power, recruits with number 11 Texas. You know, I think Texas' defense is something else. But I don't love Texas. Honestly, I just don't know if I believe in their offensive power. I think Geno, I think those wide receivers, man, Bailey, Stedman Bailey and the Austin kid, I think West Virginia goes in there and pulls out something 24-20. I like West Virginia. You know, you can't say it's an upset, right? I mean, you know, it's 8 at 11, but, you know, it could be an upset in terms of them being at, you know, Texas and, you know, Mack Brown and all that. So I'm going to go with West Virginia.
I like Texas at home. I think that West Virginia put up 70 on a Baylor team that was really not that good, but they gave up 63. So, you know, at the end of the day, these guys are
– it all sounds like crazy, right, the video game score.
Yeah, that's – again, for all you old heads out there, that's Tecmo numbers. You know what I mean?
I was going to say, that's like, Tecmo Bowl. Shout out to my Sullivan crew.
When Madden actually had competition, now it's all about Madden, right? If you're playing on a console, it's all about Madden. But back in the day, that was Tecmo Bowl, you know?
Yeah, man. Playing for hours, me and 40-ounce Quam, man. Me and Quam Dog, we used to rock it.
Toss sweep on a Tecmo. I couldn't be tackled. I was too tough. I was shedding cats. But the point is, I think Texas is too tough at home. I think ultimately West Virginia is a nice team. And, again, welcome to them to the Big 12. I actually said Nebraska to the Big 12. They're truly 12 teams, but it's actually called the Big 10. But we won't get into that. But I think West Virginia is just – they just run up against athletes that they haven't seen yet. And I think that Texas defense that's only allowing 21 points a game is actually going to be able to hold them down in Austin, keep that high-powered West Virginia and Geno Smith down, and I think Texas wins.
Okay. It should be a great one. And obviously that the game you were kind of referring to, Nebraska 21 at Ohio State 12, this is going to be big for Braxton Miller, you know. I mean, I think they're going to pull it out, but it's definitely going to be a big game for them to see, even though they're still on probation, if they can, you know, sort of really beat a tough, you know, pretty tough Nebraska team with arguably the best jerseys in the world. Those red jerseys are freaking ridiculous. With the black and Nebraska's killing me with those jerseys. I love
it. I like that. I was feeling that, man.
I was like, yo, maybe if my name begin with the letter N, I might have to rock one of those. But, you know, I don't know. But listen, let's focus in on our last major, major college football game. We got the number 4 LSU Tigers at number 10 Florida Gators.
In the swamp.
Down in the swamp, man. For me, I think LSU can win just because of their defense. But I don't know. I'm not impressed with this team. I was thinking Florida, but at the end of the day, I actually think LSU will pull it out. I don't think it's going to be anything crazy explosive. I don't like LSU's offense, but defensively, I'm going to go 2017 LSU in a nail biter. Over the Gators.
Okay. All right. I think Will Muschamp's got himself a defense. Now, on offense, we can debate. But he's got himself a defense. And, you know, I think LSU is finally recovered from Honey Badger not being on the team, being suspended, their All-America safety, Matthew. But, whew, that's a good game. I tell you what, I think LSU is a little bit overrated this year. I think that they're primed for a loss. And even though I don't love Florida, and I think they got some issues on offense, I think their defense keeps them in the game. And I think at home they can pull out a tough one. So I'm going with Florida on this one. I'm going with the home team, protecting the turf, home turf.
Yeah, I feel you. I initially was going to go with Florida, and just in an instant, I just, you know, figured LSU could pull it out. So I will say this: I won't be surprised at the end of the day if the Gators get the W, man. But overall, man, for me, just for nostalgia's sake, I want to watch. And I, you know, we both dislike, you know, for people that know Ray and I, we're Michigan. We both like Michigan football, as we, you know, explained to you our different fan, you know, our fanship, our allegiances. We do not like Notre Dame, but I would like to see, just for nostalgia, right? I want to see kind of the Miami Hurricanes, who are young and talented. You know, they're kind of rebuilding that program. I'd like to see them go to Soldier Field, and, you know, which is really a home game. It's not no neutral site. Let's keep it real. I would love to see them smack up
Notre Dame.
Irish, you know.
What if
yeah,
they
walk
off the plane with fatigues? like they did in 91, right? With the Army
fatigue. Yeah, that was so
Orange
that
Staff
was great.
And the crew. That was ghetto. They walked off the plane.
You gotta
love it,
baby.
They intimidated the people at the airport. They didn't even get to the stadium.
But listen,
people
can say what they want, but Miami has got, when you look at NFL talent, who's better than the U?
It's all about the U. Oh, by the way, shout out to ESPN and their 30 for 30s. They've been great. I mean, some of them have been even greater than great. But that Miami one, it's all about the U. That, I think that was their first or second one, and about the Miami
right.
Hurricanes.
And now this season it premiered with the one about being broke. Yeah, we spoke about that. That was it's crazy. So wait, let's get a little update. What are we in the bottom of the seventh?
Yeah, we're in the bottom of the seventh. It looks like St. Louis is pulling away a little bit. They're up 6-2, and we have a couple of pitching changes. So Medlin, the kid from the Braves, who had won 23 or 24 straight starts, or the Braves had won 23 or 24 of his last starts, he's been knocked out. He gave up 2 earned runs, but 5 runs, mainly because Chipper Jones had an error.
That was
a little tough error in the fourth. But, we'll keep you posted. 6-2 right now, bottom of the seventh. Looks like.
Hey, Alan Craig is clutch. He had, you know, a clutch hit, and then Holiday with that home run. I mean, the Cardinals, they might have one of the best lineups in the National League, you could say, from top to bottom. They probably do. So they're going to be something to deal with, and we'll get into the baseball preview. But right now, let's take a quick break and break down week 5 in the NFL, give you some fantasy stuff and talk about, you know, top 5 or 6 games or whatever and break it down for you. Ray and Tay.
We'll be back. All right.
Yeah. Bum, bum, bum,
NFL.
Bum, bum. We're marching into the they like to break it up into 4 quarters of the season, and we're marching into the second quarter of the season. Why don't you tell everybody real quick before we get into the games who's got the bye weeks this week?
So
you put your players on the bench.
Oh, exactly. So we're in week 5 right now. So all you fantasy folks out there, remember, we got the Cowboys, the Lions, the Raiders, and the Bucks on bye. So get all of those players out. Don't catch a zero. Don't be a Herb. Don't be a zero. Cut that zero. Get with the new hero. Exactly. So, you know, Vincent Jackson and Darren McFadden and Megatron and Jason Hanson. I got Jason Hanson in a few leagues.
I had him get another kicker.
Romeo.
I didn't want to drop him.
Still playing him. DeMarco Murray, Dez Bryant. Get all of those guys out. And remember to put in your players. So,
as far as Romo, you might want to keep him out.
Come on, don't diss Romeo. He's got some
talent
around.
I'm sorry, Ray. I'm sorry, man. I don't know what to say about him.
Let's ask the question this way. If you put Romo on the Rams and you put Sam Bradford on the Cowboys, would you have a different outcome?
Yeah, let me tell you something. I actually, right now, on the upswing, I like Sam Bradford more than I like Romo. I know it might be a little controversial. I think both, and because of Romo being prone to not being clutch. I don't like all the – I know he keeps it alive with the scramble, sort of like Vic and Roethlisberger, but I think Romo throws way too many interceptions. And I'm not just talking about the 5, because obviously only like really 2 were his fault, but I just think he has bad interceptions like Favre, but has not been the winner. I mean, people say whatever, but look, Cowboys have had a lot of talent. He's 1-3 in the playoffs, but he's only played 4 playoff games.
No,
so
you're
that,
right.
That right
look,
there
Jerry
has
got
to be a knock, but to be 1-3, I mean, Romo's not, you know,
done
listen.
His job. You know, as much as you may not like him and his flamboyance and the fact that he's down on the field and, meddling. Well, I don't know if he's meddling. He's a GM, right? He's the owner and the GM. He's sort of the Al Davis, he took the torch from Al Davis. But he's put talent on the field. So as a Cowboy fan, you can't really hate
on
Jerry Jones.
You can't be upset with
him. He's doing what he can. You know, the players might not like him and how he overreaches, but you know what? he's paying them top dollar. He's putting talent on the field. As a GM, he's making it happen. And I tell you what, Romo.
Look, with
your
offensive firepower, there's no reason why people should be able to stop you week to week.
True.
So maybe it's Garrett, maybe it's the coordinators. I don't know, but with Murray, Romo, you know, Witten starting to get healthy, had a big, you know, game last week. Miles, Ogletree, and Bryant? Come on, man, that's ridiculous. I don't want to talk about it.
But yeah, you're right. The offensive line is the problem in Dallas on offense. Let's go to the game
well,
this
so,
week.
Well, listen, our first game is in the Keystone State. You know, they play every 4 years, and you got the Philadelphia Eagles going to my Pittsburgh Steelers.
There's going to be a lot of Iron City in the stadium.
Can I tell you, I am so hyped up. You know, 1 o'clock, which is going to be 10 o'clock for me out here, I am so rocking my Steeler gear. I'll have to tweet out a little picture, throw it up on Facebook. You know, I might have I can't have an early beer at 10 a.m., but maybe I'll have an orange juice with club soda or something. But let me tell you this, right? I am so hyped up for this game. Why? Because at 1-2, we're coming off our bye. Mendenhall's coming back. Harrison's coming back.
Palomalu.
Both playing for the first time. And Troy Polamalu is coming back. I think we're going to have enough to pull off a tight game, 24-23 over the Eagles. I don't think Mendenhall and Redmond and Dwyer are going to get much, but we'll be able to run enough, I think, on Philly just to keep it balanced. But I actually think Brown and Wallace and my man Heath Miller, I think with Sanders too, we're going to be able to do enough with Big Ben to take care of that wide nine and get a victory at home, a much-needed victory at home against the Philadelphia Eagles.
Yeah, I agree. I ain't scared of Vic. I ain't scared of no Vic. But I think that the Steelers have – more to lose here because of their record, even though you could argue Philly could be, you know, 1-3, 0-4, no, 1-3 probably. Pittsburgh at 1-2 really can't lose this game. I mean, they can't go 1-3 in that division, have any hopes of
winning.
Hey,
RBI for the Braves, so it's 6-3 now. Just a quick update real quick. But
Pittsburgh is going to take care of business. I think their defense is going to show up. I think Harrison, Polamalu each will make a couple of plays. And again, you know, that Philly team is very turnover prone, and I think this is a team that will take advantage of those turnovers. So I think Pittsburgh turns them over a few times, cashes in those turnovers. Big Ben figures it out between his, his mediocre running game these days, but that crazy trio or quad set of receivers that he's got.
Yeah, let's not forget our boy Kotchery from the Jets.
Yeah, and Heath Miller.
Hey, the Jets could use Kotchery now, right?
God, the Jets could use Al Toon with all of his concussions. He could still play better than these Jet receivers. Johnny Lamb Jones.
Johnny Lamb Jones.
Hey. That's another day.
I think we both agree.
Pittsburgh holds serve at home in the Battle of Pennsylvania, and I think we both think they win. What do you think about the next game, Atlanta at Washington? Going to the nation's capital,
Ryan
Matty
against
Ice.
RG3.
4-0.
Well, you know, for me, those are right now, in the NFL, you could argue, been the two best quarterbacks this season, the rookie and, the veteran who has no playoff wins.
Yeah, if you judge it on performance in 2012 and not on reputation, yeah, it's hard to argue that these two aren't the best.
Well, you know what I will say?
NFC, for sure.
The one thing that's different this year about the Falcons team, it seemed to be a little bit stronger defensively. And I do like, obviously, Gonzalez has still found the fountain of youth.
Ponce de Leon?
Yeah, man. Listen, the Redskins have a ton of injuries. They give up the most yards, passing teams. So I think they're going to be able to pass all over the Redskins. And I see a shootout. I think the Falcons with Matt Ryan and Julio Jones and just everybody. But listen, the RG3 is not to be messed with, and Garcon is starting to, practice more. I think he played last week, but he wasn't healthy. So I think
this week he'll be
healthy. Right. And I think, they're going to start to, feed Santana Moss the ball a little bit more.
Fred Davis is, you know, starting to be a little bit more consistent. I think the Falcons pull out a shootout, 31-28. Matt Bryan for the field goal to win it.
See, I think Washington wins the game. I think
that
outside in the nation's capital, possibly in the rain.
I actually want Washington to win. Shout out to our boy Sean Savoy.
I think the Redskins might do this. I think that RG3 will keep it close. And, you know, Julio Jones isn't completely healthy. He's got this issue with his hand that doesn't heal. And, you know, those receivers need their hands to catch the ball. But, you know, Atlanta, look, it's hard to pick against Atlanta. They might be the most complete team in the NFL along with the Houston Texans. Houston Texans are a little more explosive, maybe because of Arian Foster. But these two receivers are unreal for Atlanta. I mean, I'm scared against going up against each of those receivers. And then you got the Burner Turner running the ball up the middle and Jacquizz. So,
Jacquizz. I think Mike Turner has a good game, too.
But I think Washington pulls this off. I think RG3 in the last second drive comes back, so the last team to have the ball pulls this off, and maybe Washington wins, you know, 34-31. A real high-scoring game, a little bit of a shootout. I like Washington in this game.
Well, I say one thing. It's definitely going to be exciting down there in D.C., and it is the game to it's really one of the games to keep your eyes out on this week. So who we got next?
So next game, we've got the Denver Broncos going to New England Patriots. So it's Brady Manning, part 13. Brady
they play
is
like
up,
every year. It's
Brady
ridiculous.
Is up 8-4 against Manning.
8-4.
And some of those are regular season, some of those were playoffs. But
playoffs.
These two
Belichick,
have been
the genius.
These two have gone against each other 12 times. Now it'll be the 13th time.
Well, let me say this. I think both teams are going to try to establish the run. So we'll see if Bolden and Ridley can keep that going. And I think McGahee and Ball, you know, try to do their thing. I think Broncos' offensive line might be overall more talented or better than what Manning had with the Colts. But I think that they're still trying to work it out. I think New England's defense, just like the Packers, they're both, improved defensively this year. I just don't know if Denver has got enough to outduel the Patriots and Brady. I think it's going to be like 27-24 Patriots. You know, I don't really love either team, but I just think that Brady will do enough to pull it out. Obviously, Hernandez is back in practice, but still probably not going to be active for the game. I think McGahee could very well do something. I don't know if they can stop Gronkowski. I just got to give it to the Patriots, man. I think that they keep the winning alive. And after that big fourth quarter against the Buffalo Bills, their momentum, I think they found their mojo.
All right, Brandon Lloyd. So wait, we got an email on this topic. Put on my Boston accent? I can't really do it. We got Stan from Boston. And
Fox the Garden, I have it, yeah.
Fox the car, go to the Boston Garden. So Stan the man from Boston writes that he's got Bolden and Ridley both on his team, and he's asking against the Denver defense. So I guess he's a bit of a homer, picking up, handcuffing Ridley and Bolden together. But he's saying both of them, would you play either of them against Denver, and if so, which one would you play?
You know, it's so funny. Just for the fact of, you know, he might even give more carries to Woodhead. Who knows what Belichick's going to do? For some reason,
Shanahan. Although Mike Shanahan's been going with Alfred Morris on a consistent basis at least last three games. But
No, definitely. But I think Belichick, you know, he switches up his players all the time. You know, I would ride Bolden. I think Bolden he likes those SEC players, and you know, the kid was tough at Ole Miss or whatever. I think I would go Bolden. That's just what it's more of a gut thing, you know. It's just something I feel maybe Bolden might have a big week. I know I picked them up, and I'm gonna give them a shot in one of my leagues. So we'll see.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you, Stan.
Good question.
Thanks
for the email, man.
Appreciate it. All right. So let's move on to our fourth and final game of the highlighted NFL Week 5 game. So we got San Diego, the Superchargers. By the way, potentially best pro uniform of all time, the powder blues of the San Diego Chargers. And for
without a doubt.
Yeah, either you love them or you hate them, but I love them. I think those powder blues are awesome. I think they're great, like Tony the Tiger, great. So,
hey, but you know what's interesting? I just got to say before we get to this game, real quick, it'll be interesting to see the number one pick quarterback Luck, and the emotional momentum they might have for their coach Chuck Pavano at home playing against Aaron Rodgers, the reigning MVP in the Packers. Don't sleep. That's all I'm saying. Don't sleep on the Colts shocking the world.
Okay. I think the Packers are starting to put it together.
I think the Packers will win, but I'm just saying, I'm just putting it out there. Don't sleep. Anything's possible.
Okay.
So,
wake up.
For me, you know, obviously this is the Johnny Unitas game, and he's asked for his coach, Peyton and Lucas and everybody to be able to come to the game. It's national TV. It's a feel-good moment, right, for the NFL, and they kind of need one. The Saints have got to win this game, okay? Getting ready to go into their bye week. The Saints have got to win to become 1-4. But listen, you know who comes to town? The guy that replaced Breeze in San Diego, Phillip Rivers, a gunslinger who is playing well, and the Saints cannot stop teams who can pass. And I don't know if they can stop Gates and Meacham, and Eddie Royal is waking up now. So it's good. And Malcolm Floyd. Obviously, you got Jackie Battle and your boy Ryan Matthews splitting time. It's going to be tough. Watch Gates have a big game, and it's going to come down to the end. I think it's going to be like 37-34. It's going to be high scoring. I think the Saints pull it out.
You got a shootout like the Dan Fouts days, Air Coryell.
Oh wait,
look,
real quick. Let me just say this real quick because we already reviewed this game and I forgot to mention it. My man, Big Ben, might catch. He probably won't do it, but he's 507 or 17 yards short of Terry Bradshaw, the all-time passing Steeler. So eventually, if he doesn't get it this week against the Eagles, he probably won't. Yeah, next week, Big Ben will pass my boy Terry Bradshaw, one of my favorite quarterbacks of all time, and definitely a top 10.
So that's Pittsburgh at Tennessee next week, by the way. So that's
on the Thursday night game. So we'll be talking about that. So that's going to be great. But
Big Ben
will probably do that. Yeah, man. So go ahead. So back to the
Super Chargers. To the game. New Orleans. Look, I've been wrong on them 3 out of 4 weeks. I thought that they have more talent. Remember, we did champs and chumps on Monday. They were my chumps at 0-4. I just don't see them losing. Now, that's no reason to pick them, but I do think ultimately that the talent, the energy, the emotion, I think that they're the one team that you don't worry about getting into a shootout with them because they have firepower. And in some ways, it's a blessing in disguise because they really don't run the ball as much as they should. Now, they've got running talent, you know, between Ingram and Thomas and Darren Sproles. They should be able to run the ball, but they just don't run it consistently as much as they should. And so what it does is it relies on their passing game, which is fine, right? Colston and Jimmy Graham, my man Jimmy Graham, on the fantasy, two fantasy teams with Jimmy Graham. Plus their other wideouts, Lance Moore and the whole crew down there, Devery Henderson.
Moore's a little banged up.
Yeah.
Moore's a little banged up, so look for this young kid, Morgan.
Yeah.
Morgan should have a big game who carried Sam Shields into the end zone.
So to me, the one team that can deal with getting behind and that can deal with being in a shootout is the New Orleans Saints. And I just feel like the emotion in the stadium with Peyton being there and Drew Brees breaking Johnny Unitas again. Shout out to
Sunday
Johnny
night,
United.
Yeah. It's going to be so loud in there, Ray.
they're going to win. I mean, even if it's a shootout, they'll win. I actually don't think it'll be that close. I think San Diego is good, not great. I don't think that they can get in. I don't think San Diego can get into a shootout with New Orleans. So, you know, this isn't the Air Coryell days. I mean, they have some talent over there in San Diego, but I don't know that they're the offensive juggernaut that the Saints are. So I think the Saints win. I think they win by a touchdown, and I think that they take care of business at home. So if you had to get a score, maybe something like 34-27. I think the Saints take care of business.
I feel you on that one. It's going to be fun. Sunday Night Football, you know. It's going to be exciting. So real quick, who would be your potential fantasy standout this week? Who's the one guy that you're looking for to have a big fantasy week?
Well, you know who I think is just a stud? I'll give you a stud and a sleeper. So you know who I think is just a stud is A.J. Green in Cincinnati. And, you know, Miami can play, right? I think Miami's a little, you know, underrated, a little bit shell-shocked. You know, they should have won in Arizona. They were up big. But I look for A.J. Green to just continue to put up some monster numbers. So that's my guy that I'm looking for. And it's not just because I have him on my team. But, but yeah, A.J. Green looks to be Ron Stud. I mean, he's amazing.
But he's a top five receiver now, I think.
Yeah, I think he solidly cemented his place in there. So, who you got? And you know what? And I think that on somewhat of a sleeper, they've been talking a little bit of smack, Cleveland and the Giants, but Dominic Hickson might put up some big numbers, you know?
He's going to have a big game. Because Barden might not play.
And Barden with the, you know, might not play. I think that Victor Cruz gets double-teamed. Martellus Bennett, people know that he's a big target over the middle. I think Dominic Hickson with that speed is hard to deal with, and I look for him to put up some numbers.
Okay. Well, for me, I honestly, in the running back battle, Minnesota and Tennessee, I think AP is going to step up to outshine Chris Johnson and do his thing to sort of – I thought I'd remind y'all to let y'all know, you know what I'm saying, it's still AP, baby, number one back, and don't get it twisted. And I expect him to, you know, 125, 130, and a touchdown at least. So I'm looking for AP this week. If I had to go with a fantasy sleeper, listen. You know, I think this one is not a surprise that after having a bad week and then going up against the Niners, I think Stevie Johnson actually cracks 100 yards and gets a touchdown against that vaunted Niners defense. So, and it should be a good game, but the Niners, I think, will pull it out. But I like Stevie Johnson. So let's take a quick break, and we'll give our baseball predictions for the playoffs. MLB is started, baby. Get ready.
2012.
Yeah, Ray and Tay. We'll be right back.
All right, we're back. We're back on Ray and Tay today, talking some baseball.
The playoffs, so, baby. Baseball has been very, very good to me.
Exactly. So first thing we do is we update you on the score, and it's the bottom of the eighth, Cardinals up 6-3 on the Braves. Now, that brings us to a good transition here. We've got this one-game playoff, which it's perfect for debating right now because in the American League, you've got the Orioles playing the Rangers, and they both had 93 wins, right? So they're in a flat-footed tie. They would have had to play a play-in game anyway, right? So the American League is, it didn't matter this year that they went to, you know, five teams. Now, in the National League, you got the Cardinals with 88 wins, and you got the Braves with 94 wins. So if the score holds, the 88-win fifth-seeded team, after 162 games, six games behind, the 94-win fourth-seeded team is going to go in there and beat them. And so the Braves' season, like many seasons before, where they made the playoffs and they kind of washed out, except for 95 when they actually won one.
Right. And Chipper ends his career on that
sad
note of an error.
Yeah, Chipper ends his career, makes an error in the fourth. They score those critical three runs St. Louis does in that fourth inning. And it's not the way for Chipper, to, future Hall of Famer Lawrence, to you. To go out, but this is exactly the debate. So on the one hand, you got a lot of excitement and you got a lot of, you know, excited fans in multiple cities with that
playoff. MLB baseball has not perfected it yet, obviously, even with scheduling where the, you know, team with a better record, even in this series, not in the wild card, but in the five-game series, starts out on the road, you know, with the 2-3 system, which I hate. So obviously the Yankees will go to either Texas or Baltimore, and then it's looking like the Nationals will go to St.
Louis.
So, you know, for me, they got to perfect it, but I just think it's good to have the wild card. I actually would like to see a best of three where, let's say, the Braves would have the first two in Atlanta and the last game would be in St. Louis. Or you could do 1-1-1, but they don't want to do that for traveling. But I think eventually the wild card, I don't like it just one game. I think it should be a best of three. But we'll see what happens. We'll see, you know, how it works out. Baseball's growing and expanding and changing and, you know, listen. But when we talk about, for me, obviously I thought St. Louis would win, and I think Texas will pull out a close one. But we'll talk about the other series first that are already established. In the American
so
League.
Let's start with, Oakland going to Oakland, obviously the lower seeded team, going, or the higher seeded team, going to Detroit. So you've got that game on Saturday, Oakland, Detroit. You've got Parker and Verlander at 6 o'clock on Saturday. What are your thoughts on that series?
Let me tell you something. I mean, obviously, I think Detroit will take that game just because I love Verlander. I like the momentum, but right now, man, this to me is going five games. The Oakland A's are just an incredible story. Shout out to Melvin, who could give our boy Buck a battle for manager
of the
year.
Manager of the year, sure.
In the AL, you can't go wrong with either one. You know, you really can't. And you could argue that maybe Melvin has done more with less. That, you know, the O's,
they were ready
have
to fire Melly Mel. I mean, last year.
No, I know, and that's what I'm saying.
The,
you could say the O's might have a little bit more talent than the A's. The
yeah.
A's are doing it with nobody in particular. So,
Chris
but I
and Pennington.
I'm going to say this. I think the Tigers win that first game, but win a long series. Win, you know, in five games, I think the Tigers go on to advance and, you know, go on to the ALCS. And I think that they beat the A's.
Well, the good thing
is, if it
goes five, you'll have Verlander in 1-5. And if there's one pitcher that you want is Verlander,
and they'll be back
right?
at home. They'll be back.
And
at
they'll
home.
Be no. They'll be in Oakland. They're starting out.
Oh yeah, that's
one
right.
And
I'm sorry.
In Detroit,
I'm sorry.
And then the three in Oakland. So he'd have to pitch a game five in Oakland.
Right. I'm sorry, yeah. And that's what you want on the road.
Yeah, you want
your ace.
Exactly.
You know, pulling it out
for you. Detroit has come out and said that he's pitching game five if there is a game five.
Right.
Who
are you liking this
series? I want to say Detroit. Detroit's more talented. I want to say Detroit, but these Oakland A's, man, you can't kill them. They don't die.
They're cockroaches.
Like, they're like whack-a-mole, you know, and just keep boom, boom. You hit them on the head and they keep coming up.
Feeling Moneyball part two? You feeling the momentum?
You know, I'm going to go crazy because a week ago I wouldn't have said it, but they're the hottest team in baseball. So I think I'll take the Oakland A's at least to get through this series.
I'm not mad at you. Well, let's keep it moving. In the National League, we have the Cincinnati Reds, who are the number, you know, higher seed, at the San Francisco Giants. For me, I have the Reds. I picked the Reds and Yankees early on going to the series. So, for me, I think the Reds pull this one out, but I think it's a dogfight, and I think it goes five games as well. I like both pitching staffs. I like the clutch hitters that they have. I just think Cincinnati with Votto and Bruce and some of their guys just have a little bit more offense, a little bit more offense than the Giants. So I see the Reds, pulling that one off.
You know, I'm going to take the other side. I'm going to take the San Francisco Giants. I think they reminisce and they remember how good and
how
clutch they were 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And last year they lost it because of a bunch of reasons, Lincecum and Buster Posey obviously breaking his leg and so forth. But I think they remember how to be clutch. They go out there and they win. I think they win in 4 or 5. I like this Giants team.
Okay.
And they're clutch.
I'm not mad at you, and that's without Melky, so that'll be
He would have been eligible, to play in Game 3 of the playoffs? But they did the right thing. I mean, Melky's
right.
Done in San Francisco.
And they have the Phillies guy, Pence, Hunter Pence, so he's got some experience. So, okay, so then now let's say we project out the Cardinals against the Nats. I hate to say it, but I'm going to go with the Cardinals. There's something about this team. I think they have, you know, arguably the best lineup in the National League. I just think the Cardinals, you know, shout out to Matheny with the new coach. I think there's something special about this team with, you know, Freeze and Craig and Molina and Holiday. I just think they got too much. And I think the Cardinals go ahead in the next series, and I think they beat the Nats in 5, but I think they beat the Nats.
I might have to agree. I think that the Cardinals just know how to win. Last year, think about it, you lose the best player in the game, and you still find a way. Now, albeit they only won 88 games, but they've been known, like I said last time, they won a World Series in 2006, only winning 83 games, right? So I think the Nationals, you know what happened? Now, granted, the Giants did it 2 years ago, and they won behind, you know, Lincecum, Kane, Bumgarner, Buster Posey and those guys, Cody Ross. But I think that the Nationals aren't quite there yet. They don't know how to win. It's like that, the reason I said that the Arizona Cardinals eventually would stumble. They just don't know how to win.
Right, and they don't have one of their best pitchers, arguably, Steven Strasburg. So, I mean,
sure,
that's going to come back to hurt them now. It's going to hurt them in the playoffs.
That's true. You like a strikeout pitcher in the playoffs. You like a guy that can get himself out of a jam. But you know what? They still can pitch, right? They've got
Gonzalez.
Zimmerman and Gio Gonzalez, and they've got Detweiler and Jackson. So they can still pitch. My question is, can they hit? Is can they come up with the clutch hits?
I don't think so.
And I agree. St. Louis. I think St. Louis, the underdog, goes in there, takes advantage of that 2-3 sequence, winning, you know, maybe even winning the first two at home. They come back from Atlanta, they win 2 at home, and then they, win in 4
okay.
or 5.
Well, listen, we're hitting the clock up. So, for me, I'm going to say the next one, obviously, is the Yankees. So, the Yankees going up against either the Orioles and the Rangers, I think the Yankees are, besides the A's, the second hottest team in baseball right now. We got healthy at the right time. I think the Yankees beat the Orioles in 4 and could beat the Rangers in 5. So either way, and obviously I picked the Rangers, so I think the Yankees will beat the Rangers. And, you know, pitching, timely clutch hitting, whether it's, you know, Swish or Grandison, Banez, you know, Jeter, whatever has to happen, the Yankees, Russell Martin, they'll pull through, and I think the Yankees will win that and to go on in the ALCS against the Tigers. What are you thinking?
Yeah, I think so, too. This might be just a homer pick, but I think that the Yankees – ironically enough, Baltimore putting a fire under them was the best thing that happened to them. They played a month's worth of clutch games. They gave up a 10-game lead, but ever since they gave it up, if you watch, Baltimore never actually took the lead. So Baltimore is still, you know, obviously came close and they tied them a couple times, but the Yankees actually never gave up that lead. So, yes, it was unclutch in most of September. But towards the end of September and then into October, Yankees pulled it together, and I think that serves them well. I think they take care of business in that first round. In fact, I think they win in 4. I think that if CeCe and Carota, Nova, Pettit, I think that the Yankee pitching can hold down, and they're all clutch and effective pitchers, and they've all kind of been in the playoff race, and obviously Sabathia and, of course, Andy Pettitte has enormous playoff experience.
DC's looking sharp,
actually,
too.
Yeah, I'm actually scared of the Rangers a little bit, the two-time defending AL champs. I think I'd rather face the Orioles because they haven't been – they've been clutch all year, but they haven't done it in the playoffs yet. So I think the Yankees win.
All right,
win.
So you have Yankees A's. I have Yankees Tigers in the final game. And then in the National League, I have Reds and Cardinals. And you have the same?
Yeah, no, I have the –
Oh, you
the
have Giants. I'm sorry, you have
Giants-Cardinals. Yeah.
Okay, well, for me, I'm going to go on, and I think the Reds will go ahead and the NLCS, and in six, the Reds will beat the Cards, right? That's for me, and Cincinnati will be in the World Series. And then I think the Yankees will go ahead and handle the Tigers in seven. And I think then we go on to the Yankees-Reds, and I think the New York Yankees are going to pull off a World Series win in six games, and New York Yankees shall be champions again. I just think it's all come together at the right time. So that's how Tay sees it, man. Yankees-Reds going back to, what, 75?
Yankees-Reds, 76.
But this time,
they swept
this,
them.
Oh, 76.
Yeah,
right.
That's when
this
they
time
got,
we beat them.
Yeah, in 75 they beat the Red Sox, in 76 they swept us, and that's why we got Reggie Jackson, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Steinbrenner got upset, and he got himself some Reggie.
From the Orioles, yeah.
Some Reggie bars, and
hey.
Care of business.
Well, this time is our revenge. I think the Yankees in six beat the Cincinnati Reds. So go ahead, break down the Final Four in your World Series.
Yeah, so I think the Yankees go ahead and take care of Oakland and go to the World Series. And I think on the other side, Cardinals and the Giants. I actually think the Giants take care of business, and I think that the Giants play the Yankees. So it's New York, New York. And
old school.
Yeah, old school. You know those that bridge is right
the polo
there.
Grounds.
The Polo Grounds and the Yankee Stadium. They used to be able to see the old school people used to tell us that you can see both games. So if there was a game at one and a game at four, you could see both games because they're. Like, both stadiums are a mile apart. You just go over the bridge. You go over.
Can I tell you?
East River.
The
and
old
there you
history
go.
Of New York.
Harlem River. Yeah, there you go. So I got New York Giants. The old New York
Giants. San Francisco Giants.
No, I'm calling them the New York Giants. I'm playing the New York Yankees. New York, New York.
Oh, Lord. And then what's your pick?
Winning. I got the Yankees winning.
In what?
I got the Yankees winning. Actually, I got the Yankees winning in five. I think that the Yankees will take care of business in the World Series, and ultimately that the Giants' lack of offense will come back and get them a little bit. So I got the Yankees beating the Giants in five.
Wow.
By the way, the game is still 6-3. We got the bases loaded, though, in the bottom of the eighth. So we got some hope for those Atlanta Braves fans.
Hey, listen. They got on their rally caps, and we'll see. It ain't over till it's over, you know. And then obviously after this, you know, shout out to TBS. Another great game. I'm excited. Orioles and the Rangers.
That is
it's,
a great
listen,
game.
It's going to be a great weekend. Everybody,
teams.
Yeah, enjoy the baseball playoffs. Enjoy college football tomorrow, and then, you know, NFL, some great games. I'm excited. It's just going to be, this is a good month. October is always a good month for sports, and, you know, then even it gets more intense once, you start to get to the beginning of the NBA. But, baseball,
yeah,
baby,
enjoy,
the playoffs.
Enjoy the weekend. But you know what? More than any, enjoy your sports. But more than anything, enjoy life. You know what I mean?
Yeah, man.
Life is short. Go out there. Do what you do. Make yourself happy. If it's sports, like I tell my mom, you know, sports make me happy. So, you know.
Yeah, man. They definitely do, man.
Consume as much sports as you can.
You shouldn't
have
anger and drama and all that other stuff with sports. You should definitely, be happy and enjoy your family and friends. And come back and join us Monday, 7 o'clock Eastern, Ray and Tay today. And, you know.
Yeah,
we'll,
thanks for talking sports with friends. We appreciate it.
Yeah.
Ray and Tay today.
We're out of here.
Have a great weekend.
Yeah. 365, 24/7. I got one life to live, but it ain't on Channel 7. I live to pray, and I'm focused every day. When they put my ashes in the ocean, I hope to be in heaven one day. Yes, 9/10, I was born a true blessing.
Yeah.
I took 16, I was born again, so there's really no stressing. Mom's was 421 and pops was 325. On 520, he was no longer alive. When 50 came with the 411, I felt
night.
Like my soul just died.
Woo!
For the next 90 years, I swore to stay alive and never take a dive and always strive. My mental is a 10, about a 9 with the pen. I'm 10 off the top, and I'm climbing to the top. 50, and I'm never gonna stop. I am hip hop, but I respect number one. And lyrically, I'm ill, and I'll destroy anyone.
What?
2 mixtapes and 2 albums done. My name is E Complete, and I get the job done. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Numbers have power, so let's get it done. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Notice the numbers and help.